This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the show, and it's less than 24 hours away from the NBA draft, 6 o'clock tomorrow. Remember, we'll have a five-hour show, at least 5 hours, 4 to 9 p.m. here on WWL. Myself, Deuce McAllister, and Christian Garrick, as we break down the NBA draft as it happens. We know Zion will go one. We assume Ja Morant will go two, although with the latest report from Peter Vesey, maybe not, if the Pelicans can move up to number two. It's going to be interesting. Most volatile NBA draft in recent memory, and it's going to be exciting to watch it play out tomorrow. Let's bring on in Ben Mintz, who's the host of Mixing It Up with Mintz up in Shreveport, at BenMintz531 on Twitter. Ben, you ready for this draft tomorrow, bud?
I can't be more excited. The only thing I regret is I should have brought the dang radio show down there. I'm jealous of you. You did a five-hour show. It's a historic day for the city of New Orleans and the NBA. And I know I've got a lot of friends going out to Fulton Street, and everybody's doing it big for sure.
Yeah, indeed. What do you think of Zion? He's like 24 hours away from him officially becoming a New Orleans Pelican. I don't know if we've actually talked about, you know, your thoughts on this generational talent, man.
Oh, man, I just think it's just so exciting for the city, the fan base. And, man, Zion seems like a good dude. He's from South Carolina. He's a Southern guy. You know, he seems like to be very excited about coming to New Orleans. I love how he was talking about everybody's been high-fiving the street. Steph, I got to be honest, I said it would take till draft night for me to believe this is even real. I mean, the Pelicans, you know, were 34-48 team, had a 6% shot to hit this one pick, and you and I are poker guys. I mean, they literally hit a two-outer on the river to get the biggest NBA prospect, you know, in the last 10 or 15 years. I mean, it's just an incredible story.
Yeah, it really is. Do you have any specific player, and I think it's a big if, but if they keep pick number four, any guy you'd like to see him take there?
I'm on the same page as you. I think you've been doing a great job with your NBA coverage. I'm all about the DeAndre Hunter, too. The fact that he can stretch, you know, 44% from three, rim protector, rebounder. I think if you have DeAndre Hunter with Ball and Holiday with their length and athleticism as guards, and then Ingram and Zion are both athletic and will grow defensively, and everybody will be able to switch. If you have a rim protector and a rebounder behind them, they could be ferocious on defense the next two or three years. So I'm kind of in that camp.
Yeah, indeed. I want to talk some World Series of Poker with you, bud. And
okay,
I know
let's
do it. I know you're heading over to Vegas for the main event and only the main event, right?
Right, that's right. I'm going out there. I'm flying out July the 3rd, playing the main event for the sixth time in my life on July the 5th. It's a Friday. I couldn't be more excited, man. I made a good run last year. Got 327th at almost 8,000 people, and you know, hoping we can bring that same energy. It's just crazy because I do exactly what you do in media. And poker, you know, nobody really cares that much about anything but the World Series main. But the World Series main is a brand like the Masters and the Super Bowl, and it's just cool to get to play on that big stage. It's awesome.
How'd you do last year? I forget. I know you cashed, right?
Yeah. Last year I got there were 7,800 people. I got 327th for like $39,000 last year. And then I played it five times total. My best finish was I got 75th out of 7,000 people in 2011, and that was the peak of my career. But I'm kind of, you know, I'm 2-for-5 and 40%. I feel like if I cash this year, I'll almost have a reputation for being known as a guy that brings it to Maine, and that's exactly what I'm going for.
have you envisioned yourself sitting on a final table or in front of TV cameras? And I know you got a little TV time last year, but I'm talking about on one of the featured tables.
Oh, I have not been on one of the feature tables, but yeah, I've envisioned it. I think they mentioned Mixing It Up with Mintz last year on ESPN. Norman Chad did, and that was a big highlight for the radio show. But yeah, I've envisioned it. I'm actually thinking, and I mean, I'll tell you this here, it'll be funny, but I've got a really funny intro plan for this year. I know you're a big fan of my fake Pat Mahomes stuff. I'm going out decked in a big KC Patrick Mahomes jersey. this year for the main event, and I think there might have to be some interviews and some funny stuff off that we're gonna. I think we're gonna try to do for some radio. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Indeed, it's Ben Mintz mixing it up with Mintz up in Shreveport at Ben Mintz 531. Any great World Series of Poker or circuit event stories? I know you play on the circuit quite a bit, and Ben, you can share with us.
Yes, I've got. I'm gonna share with you. I'm gonna seize this moment because I love New Orleans, and I've got a lot of friends listening. To share what's my example of the Mikey McDee, Matt Damon famous hand on Rounders when he bluffed Johnny Chan. That's such a famous hand in the movie. Mm-hmm. I had my own version of that on day three of the 2011 World Series main event where, you know, I think you're a poker guy, so you'll know this guy. I don't know if he's, like, going to be known by everyone, but there's a poker pro named Patrick Antonius who is a former pro tennis player, one of the top five pro poker players in the world. And on day three of the main event, he gets moved on my right, and we start battling a ton. And I mean, he's a big time player. And I have a hand go down where basically, you know, poker, I'll dial this down to where, you know, everybody can understand if you don't play. It gets folded to him. He's in late position, right by the button, which means he's going to be raising. He's raising almost every hand. He raises. I'm on the button right behind him. I re raise king queen. Just like he's opening anything, though. You know, king queen's good against whatever he's playing. Then he looks at me. I make it 19,000. He makes it 63,000. He bombs it. And he only has 100K back. And I think in my head for a second, I'm like, oh, I should probably fold. Like, I don't want to bomb off this king, queen, and $10,000 event. And I have this moment hit me in my stomach where I was like, you know what? I don't give a crap who this guy is. The hell with him. You know, I know that this guy's full up in his hand. And I jammed all in for like 240K with king, queen off here when he'd put like a huge, he'd put 30, 40% of his stack out there. And he folds, and I show the table the king, queen, and people lost their mind. They couldn't believe I went out, you know, wow, I popped in Antonius in the main with king, queen off. And I was really upset ESPN didn't get the hand because it's definitely the greatest hand of my whole career. And a 10K buy-in on day three, you know, getting it, moving all in with king high there, and especially against the top five player in the world. Oh. So that's the best story I got for you in poker.
Oh, that's fantastic. We're taking a little break from our NBA draft talk. It's World Series of Poker time. Some of the events going on right now over in Las Vegas. We're talking with Ben Mintz at Ben Mintz 531. Ben, if I said worst bad beat, and I'll give you a look.
I know.
So this is a question that you usually don't bring up if we're just talking. Like, this is a no-no, but hey, I'm going to give you the platform here. Worst bad beat of your career.
Okay, worst bad beat of my career. The one that immediately comes to mind was I was playing a $1,700 World Series of Poker circuit main event in West Palm Beach. And with like 14 left, and it was 250K to first. With 14 left, I literally get this guy. Like, I just shown a really, really crazy bluff the hand before. I think I showed 7 deuce on a bluff. And so my image is wild, and nobody believed me. And I literally have a hand go down where I get this dude to stick, like, I think he put like $1.3 million in pre when the big blind was only 12,000 with ace queen when I had kings. And he hit a dry ace on the river, and I would have had three times second place with 13 left, playing for like $250,000, and I got knocked out on ace on the river. So that one.
How much again? How much did it cost you, maybe?
Oh, man, it was $250,000 to first place. I think I got 13th for like $12,000 or $13,000. I just like, and this is back, like, I'm in my mid-30s now. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I used to be more of a hothead in my late 20s, and there was a poker news report, and I probably said some things I regret when that ace hit. But, you know, we're all competitors, and that one really stood out as one that's gone, for sure.
I think I had one of the ones that sticks out in my mind. I won't go through the whole thing, but I was playing over at the spring poker tournament over in – I think it was at the Bow, actually. And
right,
I was in.
Yeah,
I
used, a big Bervosh fan.
Yeah, I used to do a lot of mixed events. I was actually probably a better, horse player, mixed game player than I was a No Limit Hold'er player back in the day. Final two tables, big event. And basically, it was second in chips, had the chip leader in this massive hand, and he had one out, one card, you know, I think, 42 in the deck in horse or whatever it is, or there was less than that, but yeah, one outer, busted me with like 14 people left, the two chip leaders going at each other. It was terrible, bro. Like, I had him, we got it all in with me, you know, like a 95% favorite. Cost me about, I don't know, 20, 25 grand at that point.
Oh, man, I think the best illustration of this, though, is that's how lucky the Pels got to get Zion. I mean, we literally were all in with like one card to go. I mean, I hope people realize how lucky this was. No, it's true, though.
Yeah.
It's a 6% shot, you know, and now you look at the future of this franchise and the assets. I want to hear what you said, Peter Vesey's report, or the Pels trying to make a play for Morant. What was that report?
The Pels are trying – well, not Morant, but specifically the two-pick. Peter Vesey tweeting out a little bit earlier for everybody who's just joining the program, the outstanding and longtime sports writer and columnist NBA insider up in New York. He tweeted out that the Pelicans are exploring options to move up to pick number two, but to draft R.J. Barrett, not Ja Morant. And the reason there would be, well, they already have their point guard of the future in Lonzo Ball. That'd be interesting, right, Ben?
No, yeah, you think? Yeah, man, this is just incredible. The excitement. I mean, I'm getting more and more behind the Lonzo Ball thing every day, which is leads in athleticism. And, you know, with the core, if you keep Drew Holiday and Ingram and Zion, you're not asking Lonzo Ball to score 20 a game. You know, you can allow him to be a playmaker and use his court vision and play D and facilitate stuff. And, you know, I don't know, man. I've got the Pelicans fever up here. I think this whole thing the next 5 years is going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm with you. Where are you watching the draft tomorrow, bud?
I'm watching it at my buddy's restaurant, Pizza Rev, in Shreveport. They've got a nice patio with 41 beers on tap and sound. It's going to be a good old time, you know. Wish I was in New Orleans, though. I didn't think about it until about a day or two ago. But, you came on the radio show when I did it down at Avenue Pub. I got a lot of New Orleans ties, so hopefully I'll be down there a little more in the fall.
There you go. It's Ben Mintz. Mix it up with Mintz every day, 3 to 6 p.m. on 100.7 FM. The Ticket up in Shreveport. I know we got a lot of listeners up there. Tune in to Ben every afternoon, and he's on Twitter again, at BenMintz531. Ben, look, I'll talk to you tomorrow on your program and talk about the NBA draft.
Heck yeah. Thank you very much for having me, Seth. Always enjoy coming on the big 870 WWL.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. There he goes. Ben Mintz. Always a pleasure having him on. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, more of your calls. What do you think about tomorrow in the NBA draft? Who do the Pels take if they take pick number four? And are you believing what Peter Vesey is saying, or at least tweeting out, that the Pelicans are exploring option number two? People are jumping all over me just for saying, hey, maybe we should trust what Peter Vesey says. I'm getting some hate on Twitter right now. Back in a flash, 60 seconds on WWL.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.